Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
An alcoholic father and a recovering alcoholic mother. My mom and dad split, so I've got single parent mom. She remarries, I have stepdad. Then my mom dies. My stepdad walked out on the family. We moved in with foster care. I then moved back in with my father. And then I moved in with my brother. Then my senior year of high school, I lived on my own.
I'm Jim Burns. It would be an understatement to say that the president of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, grew up in a dysfunctional home. I mean, his mother died of cancer. His father struggled with alcoholism. His stepdad abandoned him completely at the funeral of his mom. And yet God used his high school football coach to lead him to a faith in Jesus Christ. And now he's happily married father and the president of one of the most influential family ministries in the world, Focus on the Family. During the next half hour, I'll continue my incredible conversation with this most amazing man. My good friend Jim Daly and I will talk about an imperfect path to a great family. It's going to be an incredible conversation. Stay with us right here on Homeward.
What an incredible journey Jim Daly has been on, from his childhood all the way through college and then to ascending to the seat of the presidency at Focus on the Family. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in a continuing conversation with Jim Daly about in a perfect path to a great family. And we're on our way to a conversation about becoming the father you were meant to be with Father's Day coming up this Sunday. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Jim and Kathy Burns, both alums of APU, and we highly recommend the school. And of course, we're partial to the Homeward Center and the master's degree in youth and family ministry. You can learn more at apu.edu. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am smiling today. Jim Daly, what a privilege to have him on our program. We're talking about an imperfect path to a great family. Jim is the president of Focus on the Family, I think the world's most influential family organization. He joined Focus back in 1989 as an assistant to Dr. James Dobson. Today, he runs Focus on the Family. He makes his home here in Colorado Springs, where we are actually having this broadcast from. He has his wife, Jean, and two boys as they are living in the home, actually two young boys. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Great to be with you, Jim.
I just love having this conversation. We're talking about your story. It's found in a book called Finding Home, An Imperfect Path to Faith and Family. And we were talking in the previous time together about, you know, my goodness, I mean, you put the D in dysfunctional when you talk about a family. I'm not sure I've ever heard of a more dysfunctional family. Now, there wasn't sexual abuse, although that kind of plays into it, but it didn't happen to you. But your family was just a mess.
It was. And, you know, just lived in just about every family type I could imagine, you know.
Yeah. You lived in 23 homes before 23 you graduated
homes
from high
school. And single parent mom, single parent dad, foster care, lived with my brother in high school, lived on my own my senior year of high school. Right. So it's almost like the Lord took me through every experience for whatever reason. I think the reason's becoming more clear now here at Focus, just because so many families are hurting, Jim. I mean, right. You know that at Homeward.
Right. Exactly. And as we were talking the last time together, basically, your situation was your parents were alcoholics. Your father actually left your mom at age 5. And then, I'm speeding this up, but your mom died. You were left for a few hours with the stepfather, Hank the Tank, who then leaves. And then you're put into a foster care situation. You're back with your dad, who's an alcoholic. And during that time, when you and your sister Dee Dee were living with your dad, he was still dealing with his alcoholism. But in some ways, was the dad hole in your heart being filled by being with him?
Yeah, I think even though he had those difficulties, I think he always expressed a certain love for me that I felt special, you know, and we had weekend breakfast together and he'd whip up eggs and toast. And I mean, just there were those special moments. It was just the demons of
right.
the bottle.
It was still there. It's a
lot of families. The track and the whole bit.
A lot of families like that. I mean, he took you to a Dodgers-Reds game. That was a big deal for you when you were a kid.
It's funny because I got all these signatures on a ball and a couple of days later, I played with that ball. It had Pete Rose, Steve Garvey, and all these signatures, and I had no sense of the value of that baseball.
Isn't that funny? Now, that would definitely be valuable. Well, finally, it wasn't working out, and you had to move in with your brother, Dave, who I think was 20 at the time, married to
A 16-year-old.
16-year-old. And they had a baby.
They did. The reason they got married, because she was pregnant. And so yeah, I think I recall being closer to her age than my brother. Yeah. And this is my mother, at least pseudo mother. Right. And so, but she was a good young lady, and you know, we got along, and then their marriage didn't survive, and my brother and she divorced, and then we lived it on our own for a couple of years, and then my brother remarried the last year or two of my high school years. But during my high school years, I mean, and Jim, this is the core issue here. Finally, somebody came along to put the pieces together for me in terms of a mentor, and it was my football coach, Paul Morrow. And he just, you know, for whatever reason, he took an interest in me. And he and his wife, Joyce, they'd have me over to their home for dinner. Mm-hmm. They'd spend time with me. They weren't over the top talking to me about God or the Lord or anything like that. They just cared.
And you called him Coach Mo. And
Coach Mo.
He actually did bring you to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Was it a football camp?
It was a football camp at Point Loma. Mm-hmm. And he scholarshiped me to go down there. And he probably took about 8 guys from our high school football team. And we went down there, and that Wednesday night at that camp, I heard the gospel. The guy was talking about our need for the Lord, how desperate humanity is, loneliness, how people let you down. And I can just remember raising my hand and saying, that's me. And I went up and I said, Lord, I want to be on your team. And that was the day. Now, I wobbled along. I mean, I had no boundaries in high school. I lived with my brother in high school. Right. I set my own boundaries. So you can imagine what that was like. I still had to try to apply very quickly principles that I really didn't understand about those boundaries of sexual purity and alcohol and all the other things. But you know, I found my way, and it was really the Lord.
And so you have this, you know, change of heart, and Christ comes into your life. And yet at the same time, your problems didn't go away. I mean, you graduate from high school, you end up being, well, homeless.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can remember being on the college campus. I went to Cal State San Bernardino. I can remember at Christmas, I had to get a special release to be able to stay on the campus because everyone in the dorms left for home.
Sure.
I had nowhere to go.
How did you feel?
That was probably one of the most desperate times in my life. So here I've become a Christian now. I read the Word and do all the things. And yet here I'm sitting on this college campus, literally no human being in sight. Everybody's away. No electricity on the dorms either, so that was a little odd. But just sitting there munching on vending machine food and at Christmas time thinking, what am I doing? God, are you there? I mean, so the desperate times aren't just when you don't know the Lord.
Right.
He allows those times to occur even when you do know.
No, that's
him.
A pretty incredible principle as well. And times when you felt his presence very close, other times not as much. But I want us to go to Lake Arrowhead to a church. Somebody prayed over you and basically spoke prophetically to you. What was that all about?
Well, yeah, I was moving along, and I was taking a bit of pride in the fact that I wasn't dating. That was an area that I needed the Lord to have greater control over. And I remember for about 2 years, I just didn't date. I gave that over to the Lord. Uh-huh. But in that, there was this kind of bizarre pride in that, you know, and I kept telling my friends, no, I don't want to date because I'm going single all the way through life. And I remember showing up at this Wednesday night Bible study at Lake Arrowhead Christian Fellowship, and the pastor came up and during the service, and this has never happened to me before or after, and he said, I think I've got a word from the Lord for you. And I immediately took a step backward thinking, this is weird. And he said, no, I think God has your mate picked out for you. She's going to have a heart for the things of God. And we got it all on tape. Gene and I sit and listen to it occasionally. But that was a Wednesday night, Saturday. Now, I've not dated for 2 years. And I thought, the guy just sees I have no ring. I'm 24. I'm an eligible bachelor type. He's just taking a shot. But Saturday night, I go to a friend's wedding. I'm the best man in the wedding. And I meet Gene. And these friends that were married, they were trying to get us together, but had not attempted it yet. And so then we met, and about another 9 months went by because she wasn't dating either. Right. She had made the same kind of vow. So, I mean, it's just amazing that the Lord, even in how I met my wife, Gene, was Abba Father. He was dad there. He was just being my dad. I've got her picked out for you.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes our Heavenly Father has to replace our earthly father if our earthly father's not around.
I mean, Jim, that for me is the illustration here. And I think the only response that I needed to have was, I believe, Lord, I'll stand here. I'll do whatever you want to do. Somebody shared with me the other day, they were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and it's a good friend to Focus on the Family, a supporter. Mm-hmm. And he was watching a little boy run to his daddy. And this little boy on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, just a few months ago, when it was warm, was yelling, Abba, Abba. And he said it was the first time he understood it. This boy just wanted to show his
daddy
a seashell. And he was saying, Daddy, Daddy.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And that's what the Lord asks us to do.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, Abba, Daddy, that's how he wants us to approach. That was probably one of the most radical things Jesus ever said. When you pray, say Abba. Because we don't get that. We don't understand the incredible part of that, that our God is our daddy. And for those who have dad holes, like you use the term, you know, we can go to our Heavenly Father and experience some of that filling by his presence, and because he is our Abba.
Absolutely. And then you have to ask yourself why in the scripture 43 times the Lord talks about taking care of the orphan. Hmm. I think it's because he wants us as the church to be his hands and feet so he can express Abba to these children, to these kids, point them toward me, which is exactly back to the point with Coach Morrow. He and his wife Joyce showed me who Abba was.
Right.
And that forever changed my life.
Isn't that something? And now forever changing other people's lives as well. We'll take a break. Jim Daly with us, president, CEO of Focus on the Family. It's an incredible story. His life of craziness, weirdness, weird family situations. And yet today, God is using this man to lead the incredible organization, Focus on the Family.
Yep, absolutely. And we look back on this now and say, well, of course, that was perfect training for that, right, Jim? And I know one of the things that people love about the Homeward Ministry, too, is not that the Jim Burns story was anywhere as crazy as the Jim Daly story, but the fact that both of these guys are living right now very authentic lives and lives that people look at and they don't think of as being too extravagant. They're very real and relatable. They got Jim Burns, of course, has issues with his daughters that he's had over the years and shared, and people resonate with those. And Jim Daly has some stories to share about him and his sons that really resonate with people as well. Okay, Jim Daly's book, Finding Home, is up at homeward.com. Also, The Good Dad, which is the new book. We'll be talking more about that in the next edition of the program. But also, I want to remind you that Dr. Jim Burns' book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, is a great book to take a look at, especially for dads who are saying, okay, how do I overcome my past? I didn't have a great model in my own father. How can I become the dad my kids need? 10 Building Blocks is the book you want to read, and you'll find it at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Dear God, thank you for Tom. When he's not spending every weekend on the golf course, he really is a good husband and father.
Father, I'm so grateful for Mary. She's the best wife a man could ever have, as long as the credit cards stay in my name only.
I'm Jim Burns. You know, I've never known a couple in serious difficulty who spent time together each day in prayer.
Lord, we come before you now just looking for your wisdom and looking for a miracle during this season of financial trial.
Yes, God, and could you help Roger remember his duty as a provider and get a better paying job and soon?
God, please help Amy to understand that money doesn't just grow on trees.
Not jabbing your spouse by way of the Father prayer, mind you. I mean really earnestly seeking the Lord's will before the throne. Praying together restores balance in the priorities in your marriage. I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Jim Daly with us, president of Focus on the Family, an incredible conversation. His book, again, is called Finding Home. I really recommend that you get it. It's a pretty compelling story. It's a very compelling story. And we're just walking through it. This doesn't happen very often on the Homeward broadcast, but this is too important for you not to hear this story. Also, it's inspiring because if you come from a dysfunctional family, then you know what? There is hope for you because you do not have to turn to that other side. You can recover and you can not spend all the time paying attention to your parents' sin and their problems, but you can move on and you can be the transitional generation. I want you to know that in a big way. Jim, as we're kind of continuing this conversation in this last segment, so you meet Gene, and then I think it's August 24th, 1986. You guys get married and now there's two boys. You've been married for what, 21 years?
21 years, but it took us a while, actually. There were a lot of issues there. I mean, our boys are only 5 and 7, so I'm sure your listeners are saying, okay, the math is, we were later, you know, we're in our late 30s when our first was born. So I'm 40 when our second one was born, so a little more normal today. But in that, I mean, Gene and I, we had to work out some kinks. I remember our third year of marriage. I came out of the restroom, I was brushing my teeth, and Gene was in bed already, and I laid down and she was sobbing and I'm thinking, this isn't normal. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I don't think I should stay married. I'm not a good wife. And I just said, why? what's happening? What did I do? Right. And, you know, she just had such low self-esteem issues. She said, I just don't feel good enough. Yeah. And I said, listen, Gene, there's only two options because of all the stuff that happened in my life. We're going to stay married because divorce is not an option. So it's either we stay married happily or we stay married unhappily. And I really would prefer happy. And, you know, I think it began to set the foundation for us. And a trust.
I think it brings security. You end up having children. You're working at Focus on the Family, and even the way you got to Focus on the Family is a great story in your book. And then one day you're being told that you just might be the head of Focus on the Family. You come home and tell your wife, and what does she say?
She said, "Who would have thunk it?" She was doing the dishes. I'll never forget. She's putting the dishes in the dishwasher, and I walked in and said that, and she just looked over her shoulder and said, yeah, who would have thunk that?
Yeah.
And then she said, the absolute truth is, she said, can you take the garbage out?
I love that.
I kind of guessed, I guess I still can.
So here you are now, you know, president of this incredible organization, and yet you came from such a deficit with your family. How does it feel to lead an organization like this in terms of the responsibility, the privilege, walking in the shoes in some ways of Dr. Dobson. I mean, he's still around, obviously, but walking in the shoes of his leadership, what's that like?
Well, you know, Dr. Dobson he has been terrific in transition. I mean, that's one of the things, a lot of people knowing him said, it's going to be hard for him to do it. But he wanted to model it, and he's doing it. And that's a blessing in itself, because that can be so difficult to hand over your baby. And I think in terms of replacing him, no one's going to replace Dr. Dobson. It's a matter of making the mission of helping families be the key thing, and not who's running it. I don't even care if people know my name. That's not important. What's important is really getting help to hurting families. Yeah. And again, I think that perhaps was the reason the Lord did it.
Yeah. No, and I think in that transition, maybe your best years are still ahead because of that statement right there that, the job is not just about a person who's a wonderful person and a prophet in many ways, but it's about helping families succeed and helping hurting families. And now you can do that in many ways in so many different things. It's not just about Dr. Dobson.
And, Homeward is doing that too, Jim. I just want to say it's great to have partnership with you. And we're all eating on this big elephant called family, trying to help. And it's tremendous because all the research is coming in that family is the number one concern for most people. Yeah. MTV, 93% of the young people on MTV in a survey said, I want to be married to the same person my entire life. Right. 93% of the MTV viewers.
Yeah, that's an incredible statement with what they've been viewing, if they're viewing that, a whole lot of times. You're talking about family now, your own personal family, two boys, and you say that you want to fill their lives, their memory banks, with good. Mm. What does that mean?
Well, and I don't always do it well. I mean, sometimes I get angry. I mean, it's part of it. It's, they push you to the brink and you're exploding. I love Dr. Dobson's story one time when he was trying to spank Ryan or Danae at a stoplight. And he's trying to get at him in the back seat. And he looks out the window of the car next to him. And the person driving the other car is mouthing the words, "You're Dr. Dobson." And he's just turning red, So I feel that way sometimes. I'm trying to keep the boys in line and teach them the right values. But in that constantly loving them, making sure they know I love them. Because I think even when we go through the prodigal scenario, when they're teenagers, they've got to know they've got that tether to me that I will love them no matter what. So every day, I mean, literally, Jim, every day I say to them, I love you and I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. To the point now, my 5-year-old Troy, when I say, hey, Troy, I got something to tell you, he'll say, I know, Daddy, you love me and you're proud of me. And it's just great for them to know that and to believe it and then to demonstrate it through my actions, which is key. You just can't say it and then not have the action back it up. You got to do both.
I have a friend who says that we need to create a sweet tooth for Jesus for our children. And we don't always do that by just preaching at him. We do that sometimes even by playing together and having fun together. In your book, you were talking about some families who actually do dinners together where they don't even bring the silverware.
Yeah, just throw it on the table.
That's a great idea.
Spaghetti's the best. Just go for it. Just go light on the meat sauce.
Yeah, no, the meat sauce would be tough if you're wearing a nice shirt.
You don't wear a nice shirt to that meal.
You ended your book with an incredible statement. It said, when we allow God to be involved in our pain, he has the uncanny ability to make sure none of it is wasted. What did you mean by that? It's an incredible statement.
Now, for me, one, it gives you some context. It gives you balance when bad things happen. They're going to happen. You're going to lose a parent. You're going to lose a spouse. You may even lose a child. Mm-hmm. Those are incredibly difficult times. It is part of life. And the question is, how do we manage it? And I think in the American culture in particular, I've had the privilege of traveling to 70 countries in my work with Focus. But in the United States, we do have a particular problem with pain. We do not handle emotional trauma very well, and we don't embrace it very well. And I think as Christians particularly, we've got to understand the context there. God is saying, listen, you're going to have hardship. It's not going to just be easy. And yet in America, we try to eliminate all pain. I mean, do you feel that?
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember hearing a National Public Radio, NPR story on workplace internships, and they had a 16-year-old girl on there who was complaining that she was getting paper cuts from too much filing work as an intern. That, to me, says the culture's in trouble. Right. We got to eliminate all pain, including paper cuts. Right. You know, life is going to give us really deep paper cuts to the heart. And we've got to be able to manage them. And it is a witness for us as Christians, with those watching us, how do we do it? Mm. Not be false about it, not be giddy in a false way, but to say, you know what? My confidence does not come from my circumstances. My confidence comes from the Lord. Think of the Christians in the days of Rome, when they were being burned, tortured, martyred, crucified upside down. I don't think they were saying, where's the government to help me? Come on, let's not do this. They were saying, Lord Jesus, for your glory. And it so impacted people that were doing the killing that it turned the culture upside down. That's the church we need today. And one statement that really sticks with me is that it's not humanism that is the threat to America. It's shallow Christianity. Mm. We need to deepen our belief. And I think, unfortunately, it often starts with pain in our own lives.
Boy, that shallow Christianity is something that more and more organizations are rising up against, and how grateful we are that Jim Daly is leading that fight for Focus on the Family. Jim Burns is leading that fight for Homeward, and we're grateful to have this opportunity to have conversation with them. When the book Finding Home first came out, this was the end of our conversation with Jim Daly, but now his fathering saga has continued, and so this is the end of part two of now a three-part conversation with Jim Daly, talking about the dads and becoming the father you were meant to be, especially if you were walking down an imperfect path to a great family. Both of Jim Daly's books, in Finding Home and The Good Dad, are available at homeward.com. Actually, we've got links up there, too. You can buy them through Amazon or wherever. We're not a bookstore. The only books we carry are Jim Burns books. And Jim, I know you and Jim Daly have a friendship that goes back many, many years. And this story, it was new to many of our listeners. It wasn't new to you when we were recording it. But still, it's just unbelievable what he's been through in his life.
When he first told me his story, which was long before this book, I went, oh my goodness sakes.
Wow.
What's neat about it is that it does show that God can place his hand on somebody's shoulder and take them along the way. And not only does Jim have a great mission and ministry at Focus on the Family, but he's a wonderful father and a great husband. I mean, he claims he's not perfect, and he's not by no means, but you know, he's authentic, and that's what we need today, and that's what we talk a lot about here on the Homeward program. He really is, in many ways. Here it is, the president of Focus on the Family is the poster child for a dad and for a father here on Homeward, and I just appreciate that man so very much.
Yep, he's a good guy, and we are so fortunate to have had time with him here today. We'll have time with him on tomorrow's edition of the broadcast as well. And just a reminder here that both of those books, Finding Home and The Good Dad, both by Focus on the Family President Jim Daly, you'll find links to them at homeward.com. Coming up on the Father's Day this Sunday, and our thanks again to everybody who supports this ministry, who is a dad or is married to a dad or had a dad, if you do. We're coming up on the end of the month here. June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year as well. And so we appreciate hearing from you. If you can make a donation in support of our ministry today, a $50 donation, $100, maybe $1,000, if God's leading you in that direction, you can mail it to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693, or use our secure website at homeword.com. We love to hear from you. And of course, remember, when you're online, browse a while. Take a look at Jim's books, the resources that are available to you. They're all very helpful and useful and available at homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward
financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.